Hi, I'm Jess.
And I'm Ryan.
And we are
the Iggy Parents.
Welcome to episode 51, all about dog parks.
So this episode is going to be a look at our experience at the dog park and talk about the reasons why we love going to the dog park. Adelaide absolutely loves it.
And maybe some input from our audience about what to look out for, pet peeves, what's not so great about the dog park.
And we have a few of those ourselves as well. But just before we get into the main part of the episode, we have a few pup dates.
Pup dates!
I knew you were going to do that.
So predictable.
So we have mentioned that we are starting a second podcast, the Bedtime Puppy Tales podcast, which will be stories about dogs for dogs and dog lovers. That our new tagline? Did I just come up with a good tagline for it?
Oh, I like that tagline. Stay tuned for our taglines.
Anyway, we have the first three episodes, which were all episodes of this podcast, and we're kind of the kicking off point to make that its own thing. We're planning to launch it beginning of July or so, but the three episodes that we did for the Iggy Parents are now standalone episodes on Bedtime Puppy Tales. The link to that podcast feed will be in the description of this episode in the show notes. Yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah, and this week we are actually going to be going live. If you are listening to this podcast in time, check it out. On Instagram, we're going live with a Dog Podcast.
Yeah.
We love With a Dog Podcast. And we're excited to chat about our pet business and developing as influencers, as well as developing this podcast.
It's because she has an episode coming up with Tori Mystic, right?
Absolutely. So we're a member of Tori Mystic's Wear, Wag, Repeat Society. And so after she has her interview with Tori, we're going to hop on a live with Carly and chat about how Tori's changed our existence on the internet.
Absolutely. So last summer, we did Tori's product business course, and that really jump-started what we have been able to offer. So our whole shop on our site is because of her. And now there's a bunch of other things.
Right, the print-on-demand challenge.
Print-on-demand, thank you. Now there's a bunch of other things through the society that we have been learning about. For example, podcast guesting, being a guest.
Right.
And tips about that, and that kind of all tied in with the podcast challenge that we did during May. It was, I think, a big success. At least for us, like, that was the launch of Bedtime Puppy Tales. But we know of at least like two or three podcasts and new ventures that are started
in the works.
Right. That's great for a first shot at this. I don't think we could.
Right. It's very ambitious to say you're going to start your podcast in 5 days from inception to launching it. But I mean, it's possible. But of course, you want to put a lot of thought and care into it. So if this is just a jumping off point for people, that's exciting. And I hope to do the challenge again in the future.
That's what I was thinking, is like, this was our first time running the challenge. And we had people there commenting every day. We had people telling us what their plans were. And we can't wait to do more around that, hopefully in the near future.
Yeah.
Because we're not going to stop podcasting. So we're still thinking about it. So we might as well try and share that knowledge with other people.
Exactly. And we've got an exciting announcement coming up as well. So if you're listening to that live this week with a Dog Podcast, in sort of the realm of pet business industry, we are going to be discussing a little bit more about this podcast and what we're going to be offering very soon.
Secrets and teasers. I love it.
Secrets and teasers. Oh my. Okay. I guess that's lions and tigers and bears. I needed a third one. I didn't have anything. Secrets and teasers and dogs. Oh my. Speaking of dogs.
Dog park time?
Dog park time.
Okay.
So this episode could very easily fall into the I hate the dog park world.
Yeah.
And I don't want it to become that. But we did get a lot of feedback from you, our listeners, our audience on Instagram. And we would love to also shine a light on this world of the dog park and dog park etiquette and maybe what's not going so well. Maybe there's things that you don't understand are not received well by your fellow dog park attendees. And we're not meaning to tell anyone what to do with their dog, per se. we're just giving sort of the idea of what might not be going so well for you or well
for your...
Try and
set expectations at an appropriate level.
Right.
Right. There are times when we have really enjoyed it. And if something doesn't go the way that we expect, for us, that's like time to leave. It's not writing off dog parks completely.
Right. I think that's a good place to start from.
Mm-hmm.
So before we dive into our statistics from our questions on Instagram,
yep.
Let's just talk about why we love the dog park, Ryan. Why do we go to the dog park?
Our dogs, if you didn't know, are Italian greyhounds.
What?
Which means that they love to run. They love to chase. They love to be chased sometimes. But they...
It's a game.
But they definitely love to run at full speed, which... If they're on a leash, is basically impossible. Even if, like, we were going out for a run, like, they can run faster than we can.
They can run faster than Olympians.
Yeah.
So we're not going to be running at the speed they want to at full speed.
So it is a great place for them to get that energy out. And it's also a great place to socialize with other dogs.
Right. I don't think Adelaide would be the dog that she is today if we didn't have dog parks to socialize her. Yes, we brought Adelaide to events and took her for walks and met dogs on the walk, but there's nothing really that can compare to a dog park experience. And we say dog park, but we also had an indoor sort of puppy playtime, and we'll talk about that soon enough. But with that, it's slightly different, but does provide you with the same environment.
Yeah, that is one thing that I do remember from dog school, that our trainer said dogs always react differently to each other if they're on a leash. So some dogs are then like on guard, right? Are more protective of their human than they would be if they're just out roaming free. Or maybe they have the tendency to pull more, and like that can be scary. I know sometimes Phoebe gets spooked by other dogs walking at her, and then she pulls in the opposite direction and has this feeling of not being able to get away.
Right. She tries to escape out of her collar.
Right.
Which gives me a fright. So,
anyway,
in your collar.
The being on a leash and meeting a dog is definitely different than the dog park.
The dog park I love as well. When we were living in the city, it is the one place that you can take the leash off and know that it's fenced in and it's safe. Because if we were to let our girls go off leash anywhere else in the city, there are very few spots that don't have many distractions and that aren't really close to a road.
Yeah.
We can't, like we said, we can't run as fast as an Italian greyhound. So we would be lost. Like the dogs would run away. They would go into traffic, traumatic experience. We don't want that. We want fenced in dog park situations, keeping them safe.
It's also great exercise for them. So it can tire them out physically, and it can also be great to have all those interactions, right? It's one thing to tire your dog out, and it's another thing to stimulate them enough that they're calm and like get all of that energy out. So like physical and mental energy.
Right. And they're sniffing the ground. They're mm-hmm. sniffing new people, new dogs. There's so many benefits to going.
And if you have listened to our episode on puppy or Iggy alone time, that is always advisable, is to get them tired out before leaving them on their own. And so sometimes it's like a more efficient use of your time.
Right. Yes.
Right. Going to the dog park for half an hour or walking for over an hour.
Right. It could tire them out exactly the same way. I love going to the dog park as well, because often I find strangers are kind, and if we forgot water for the dogs and it's a hot day, they don't mind our dog sharing. And if you forget a poop bag, they have extras and you don't have to leave your poop on the ground. Again, this isn't a perfect world. But I have found lots of kind strangers, as well as real life meetups with Instagram or social media friends. So I have been in the dog park before and had someone either recognize Adelaide and say, hey, I follow you on Instagram. Or we start talking and then we talk about Instagram and we're like, oh, yeah. And then it makes a connection outside of the dog park for next time. And it can be a really cool thing, because we kind of got in the habit of it last summer. Ryan would go golfing on Thursdays and Saturdays. I would end up at the park. and I would end up meeting the same dogs, Adelaide got to form relationships with the same dogs because we all were there on a Thursday morning or a Saturday morning. And I really feel like the dogs remembered each other. And for me as the human, it's kind of nice. You have a friendly face at the park, especially during COVID when the dog park was the only thing we were doing. That's the only place we were going other than the grocery store. So kind of a distant way to be friendly and social.
So now that we've established how much we love the dog park, maybe we'll talk about the things that we would like to change.
Right. So one of my big fears when going to the dog park for the first time was that Iggy's are very small and they can be easily hurt by other breeds. I've seen, again, not to jump to the negative, but I have seen photos and videos of Italian Greyhounds specifically or Whippets that their skin is thin and maybe something that wouldn't hurt another breed as much really, really hurts them. They need surgery, etc. And they're just a little bit more on the fragile side. Italian Greyhounds, we've talked about this on the podcast, can break their legs. And sometimes it's happened in play sessions. So again, that was a big fear of mine. What's going to happen if everything's friendly and everything's fine, but because our dogs are so fragile, something that wouldn't hurt another dog could hurt our dog. Another fear we had was picking up kennel cough.
Interesting.
It happened.
Yeah.
It did happen. I think it was like the first time we ever brought Adelaide to the dog park.
If not the first.
She did so well and she was so brave and I felt great about that experience. And then later she got kennel cough and we realized that I think maybe we took her to the dog park too soon after she had gotten her last vaccinations. I think there's like a waiting period. You need to wait 2 weeks and maybe we didn't wait the full 2 weeks. Anyways, it happened. And it's something that is very contagious, kennel cough. So the second you know that your dog has it, you have to keep them away from the dog park. But again, that was my fear. Oh, what happens if, you know, someone's owner doesn't know their dog has kennel cough until after they leave the dog park? Then my dog's got it. And here we go.
I forget exactly what the timing was for it, but I feel like we also had to cancel something. Were we still going to dog school?
I think we were going to dog school.
So,
yes.
So we had to like cancel a session.
Yep.
And
they allowed
reschedule it.
But again, at dog school, they're very particular because it's regulated. Mm-hmm. Unlike a public dog park, your dog school is going to be concerned. If you have kennel cough, do not come to class.
So it's just, it wasn't detrimental, but it's upsetting to see your dog in pain or sick, and it can be inconvenient.
Right. It can change your plans.
Yeah. They also have the chance of eating something that might make them sick. So whether that's another dog's poop that an owner hasn't picked up or a snack that someone has dropped, or we even heard stories around Toronto that there was maybe some people that put things
maliciously.
Like, yeah. Like rat poison down, or maybe maliciously, maybe carelessly. I don't know. And not thinking about the fact that dogs might come upon this thing.
Right.
So there is always the fear that they're going to eat something that won't agree with them.
Right. Whether it's a stranger giving them a treat or something that's been laid down.
And I think my biggest fear when we were going to the dog park was that our dogs are so fast that it might catch people off guard and something might happen before we have the chance to react. So whether that was going to a park that was big and long, right? There's lots of opportunity for them to get farther away from you where A, they might not even be able to hear you from that distance, or B, you might not be able to catch up. And then I was nervous of them being able to sneak out the gate.
Right. They really love, or at least Adelaide really loves strangers. So I could picture her leaving with one.
Mm-hmm.
And as well, I have heard of people in Toronto who are, hate to say it, but dog napping. And these dogs, especially because Italian Greyhounds have gone so viral as of the last year with Tika and Honey and so many Ripley viral Iggies, lots of people are wanting this breed. So it's not just people dog napping for themselves. It's people dog napping and then selling them, of course, right? So another reason, if you want to listen to our puppy scam episode, that would be a great one to listen to if you are looking for how to search for your dog the right way.
So should we talk about the statistics from our Instagram followers now? Or
right,
their thoughts?
Because a lot of our pet peeves about the dog park,
I was going to say, there's a lot of crossover.
Yeah, it crosses over with what people have said. So yeah, let's get into it. Stats. So we asked our followers, do you go to the dog park? And I didn't know what people would say with this. What did you think, Ryan? I feel like there's just a lot of hate for the dog
park. I was going to say, yeah, it feels like dog parks kind of have a bad rep. So I'm not surprised by this, that it's 49% yes and 51% no. I think I probably would have been wishy-washy on it. And right. That's kind of what people are.
And I feel like the question was, do you go to the dog park? And not how do you feel about the dog park? So do you go to the dog park? Yes. And that would be our answer as well, that city living, it's kind of a necessity if you're looking to socialize your dog and, like we said, go somewhere off leash and meet other dogs for both you and your dog. Our second question was off leash areas. Do you go to the dog park or do you go to specific off leash areas such as a trail? Some people have said off leash beach, off leash area that's safe for dogs.
Mm-hmm. And that is very similar. 47% yes, 50% no.
This makes me laugh because the next stat here is, do you prefer the dog park or the off leash? And this is 38% people prefer the dog park, 62% prefer off-leash areas. So the first question was, do people go to off-leash areas? And then the second parter was, do you prefer the off-leash areas? And the answer is yes, 62% of people prefer the off-leash. But interesting, maybe there's a barrier for people getting to those off-leash areas. There aren't as many of them. Maybe it means like a full day's hike as opposed to just a quick trip to the dog park. There are tons of dog parks in Toronto. So we had our pick. We could go to three different dog parks that were close enough to walk by foot with the dogs. And if we did use the car, we could go anywhere we wanted. And I know Ryan and I were scoping out dog parks in the beginning. And we were choosing, okay, which one looks safe for our dog? Which one should we go to? If we're going to meet a friend at the dog park who brings their dog, which dog park should we go to? And like, I remember we had a chart. We wrote it all out, said, okay, this one was busy at this hour. And we got really nerdy about it. And we just wanted to find the best place to go, especially during COVID as well. And if you're listening to this podcast from anywhere else in the world, you know, COVID is affecting us in different ways and different countries have handled COVID differently. So for us, we just have been taken off of not lockdown, but our stay at home order. So technically we can now go outside. That sounds weird, but technically we can go outside and it doesn't have to be for an essential purpose. So I think for us, this might mean we go to the dog park here. Now we live outside of the city. There's only one in our city. But I think we're going to go. But when we were in Toronto, there's an off-leash trail that is amazing. It's still got a fenced-in area, so you don't have to worry about your dog running off. And I preferred the trail to the dog parks as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the trail led to a dog park. So you got the best of both worlds.
Right.
If you're in Toronto, it's Hyde Park.
So the next thing that we asked people were more open-ended. So we asked what their pet peeves were, and we asked what they would change about the dog park. And a lot of people responded with similar answers. We have some one-off answers that are really insightful and good ideas. And then we have some general things that feels like everyone deals with.
Yeah. And no one compared notes. Like everyone just responded and said the same thing.
So the top problem is inattentive owners.
Right. And I think that's linked to the next one, which is aggressive dogs or dogs that haven't learned appropriate play, or pandemic, dogs that haven't been properly socialized. This is pre-pandemic as well.
Yeah.
But in particular, I think it's heightened during this year, last year and a half.
So 20 people said inattentive owners were a problem, and 17 people said aggressive dogs were a problem. So like we were saying, Iggy's in particular are going to be what's the opposite of aggressor? the prey.
I know. I'm like dominant versus submissive.
Yeah, maybe that's a good way to put it. They're probably going to be the submissive one if a dog is aggressive. They're not going to stand up to the big dog that's barking at them. So,
but I have even seen it where our dogs are bullies. If there's a dog smaller or maybe older and not as active and Adelaide is wanting to get the dog to chase her, that can be, you know, wanted or unwanted. And you have to look for those signs. And the other top answer of things that you would change about the dog park was small dog areas. So I learned from posing this question, that not all areas, not all countries have small dog areas, like small dog parks. So for us, there is, I think there's only like one in Toronto, and it's far from where we lived, that had a specific section for small dogs. Now, when we went up north, we went to the small dog park area in the parking lot where we met our breeder, and we got Phoebe.
Right.
So we were with Adelaide. That's why we were there. And this is the funniest thing to me. Big, huge dog park. Huge dogs. It's up north. People have big dogs. And then you look to the small dog area. It was literally just us. We let Adelaide run around in this fenced off area. And I think one dog came in.
Yeah, it was a Boston Terrier.
Right. And a puppy. It was a Boston Terrier and a Boston Terrier puppy.
Right.
That they had just gotten a puppy themselves. And we're like, we're waiting for our puppy. She's coming in this parking lot right now. Anyways, there's just not that many small dog park areas. And I know for us, we now live outside of the city. And a lot of the people out here have big dogs. Like our neighbors have two big German Shepherds. And when they bark, our girls, I mean, Adelaide's learned to bark back, which is interesting. But Phoebe runs for the door. She gets really nervous. So having small dog areas, I think, would be really great. And some countries, like we talked to someone from the UK, they said, we don't even have any. So interesting that this is not a regular thing, because there's so many small dog breeds out there that are super popular.
The last kind of repeat answer that we got from people was a problem of poop not being picked up.
Yes.
And Jess and I were talking about this, and it's not just that it's annoying. There's a few real problems that come from it. One is that if dogs eat it, they can get sick from it, like we were saying.
Right. And if the dog that pooped was sick.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. More than just like throwing it back up, like can actually spread disease. It also smells and you can step in it. Like those are kind of the obvious things. But then it can also bring...
Or your dog could step in it or play with it.
Right. It can also bring like flies and insects and things that, again, could be bad for your dog, right? Maybe your dog gets a bug bite because of that, or you do. And I just think it's more than just inconvenient. It's annoying for a reason, because there's problems that can come.
Right. And I just think of so much poop in the dog park in the heat of summer, and the aroma of the dog park is just something I can't stand when people haven't picked up the poop. So I'm adding that to my list of pet peeves. Please pick up your poop, everyone.
And like Jess was saying, strangers at the dog park can often be very helpful. So if you've forgotten a poop bag, ask for one. That's what I would do. And I'm scared of people. Nervous to talk to people.
Right. We need an episode of like Ryan's life as an introvert with two Italian greyhounds. Mm,
yeah.
That'd be a great episode, babe. Another, again, these are things that more than one person said, but they're lower down on the list. People requesting no sick or unvaccinated dogs. This is a no-brainer. We said this already. If you know that your dog has kennel cough or something like that, or they're not vaccinated yet, don't bring them in.
Dog parks are a great option to exercise your dog. They are not the only option, though.
Right. Solo walks.
You definitely can take a solo walk. You can get brain teasers for them, like puzzle toys and things that can wear them out. A Kong toy with frozen food inside, like something that will keep their attention. That kind of thing can also wear them out. So there are more options if your dog is sick and can't go see other dogs.
I always appreciate when an owner says from afar, don't let your dog mix. My dog has kennel cough. That is like, thank you, thank you. Pull my dog back. Don't let the dogs meet. It's the same courtesy that you give someone with not just letting your dog run up to them and asking, can my dog meet your dog, or can I pet your dog? These are things that, I don't know, like the moment takes over sometimes and your dog wants to see the other dog so badly, but you don't know if that dog doesn't mix well with other dogs. You don't know if that dog is sick or unvaccinated. You don't know if maybe for any reason whatsoever, it's just not a good idea for your two dogs to mix until you get too close and it's too late. Another request someone has made, which I am obsessed with this request. However, I just don't see how it would financially be viable, is to have security or a trainer on site at the dog parks. Now, I think of this, I'm like, oh, like a lifeguard at a pool. Like, I guess the city pays for that. Why can't the city pay for a lifeguard at the dog park?
Like, especially places that don't have that many parks.
Right. And if you had like an hour where the park, like public swims.
Right. It doesn't have to be all the time. It could be.
I think you're onto something here. Okay. Now I take it back. Anyone who said that answer, I'm into it. But What I was going to say is that the cost of hiring someone to be a security or sort of trainer on site is similar to what would happen if you brought your dog to a puppy play hour. We call it puppy play hour because it was called puppy power hour where we live.
Yeah.
But it's for
doggy
us,
daycare is similar as well.
Right. A doggy daycare where you're going to have someone watching them at all times. And for us, we went to this puppy power hour at BFF Playcare. And for us, that meant while your dog's a puppy, other owners who have puppies can all come for free on Thursday nights. And it's an indoor play session at a doggy daycare. And there is someone to watch the dogs. You have to be there and you still have to monitor your pet, but there is someone there responsible for the evening. Now, this is different than when you go to puppy school with puppy socialization. There you have an actual trainer who is then going to be even more expensive to pay because the trainer is narrating the play. So the trainer is narrating the body behavior of the dogs and they will tell you, oh, look, Adelaide is giving you green light behavior. Her tail is wagging. She is going up and sniffing the butt of this corgi over here. And look, the corgi likes it too. The corgi is wagging his tail. And this sort of narration helps the pet owners to know that their dog is succeeding or not succeeding in socializing. And if they're not succeeding, the trainer also helps you to know like how to and when to pull your dog away. When is your dog too scared? Give them a moment alone. When is your dog being a bully? Make your dog back off. And not in an aggressive way, not in a disciplinary way. We're not talking about that. We're still talking about positive reinforcement. But I think that there's just such a really cool thing about puppy socialization that you can't really replicate at the park. Even if you did have a trainer or security guard, I feel like you're not going to get someone as high level as a trainer.
It's going to be reactive instead of proactive.
Right. And the proactiveness of puppy school is why I think Adelaide is so brave and courageous. And she did so well in puppy socialization because her first class, she was nervous.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that first class, she gained so much courage. By the end of it, she was too much for everyone else. So I love the idea. Have a security or trainer on site, but just don't know how feasible you would get someone who's good quality. Because if you have someone mediating with the dogs that also isn't a great, well-trained trainer, you might not be getting that much extra help.
Most dog parks that we have been to are basically just a big open space, often dirt, sometimes wood chips, but honestly, grass doesn't really grow in dog parks very well because it's always being trampled on, and sometimes dog pee is not good for growth of plants. But we have some recommendations here about how dog parks could be elevated a little bit to either make it better for the dogs or just more enjoyable to be at. So one is that it would be great if they had more trees for shade.
Both for the humans and the dogs.
For sure. Like put a tree and put the benches, if there's picnic benches or sitting benches, like put them under those trees. I don't see why you wouldn't. And another thing that people would like to see is enrichment options. So if this is interactive games for your dogs, right? Like you wouldn't bring your kids to a playground that's just a playground. Like that's just
an open
a field. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. People don't think about dog enrichment enough. And yes, we have dog toys at home to do that, but I think you're onto something with that interactive element of a dog park. What if there was sort of a stationary dog toy that inspired a dog to, you know, nudge something with its nose or uncover something? I don't exactly know how you could make one that's sort of reusable, but I think it could be cool.
Yeah, just more reasons to go to the dog park rather than just seeing other dogs, right? The other dogs there are the biggest benefit of getting to go, but if there were even more things like enrichment options.
And that's the biggest benefit for us. I mean, someone else's biggest benefit might just be to let their dog run a few times and then they leave.
Someone else said that we should have clean water available for them. So water fountains at the dog park.
I think that a big complaint about that in relation to the water is sometimes these facilities have water fountains, but they don't work. So clean water, fresh, available, always working well.
Could also have some kind of pool. So either to cool off when it's hot or to clean them if they have gotten into poop or if they've gotten into dirt or whatever, that could be good. There's, like Jess was saying, at High Park where there's the trail and then the dog park area, there is a pool kind of wash station there. That whole area is sand, so I think people are more prone to getting dirty from the trails and at that park.
Yeah, this just made me think too, what if there was like a first aid kit on site?
Ooh, yeah.
If they get injured, if there's a cut, if there's something you need, something to bandage something up. I mean, that could be kind of cool.
Yeah, and that is like barely a step up from having like dedicated trainer time or security time, right? It would just have to be checked periodically. We're coming up with some good ideas.
Let's open a dog park. Wait, they're public.
They're public.
We wouldn't do that.
Let's petition the government? Is that what
we
have to do? Okay.
There's a dog park, actually, that we used to go to all the time, but I feel like the owners of the dogs that come to this dog park are, I'm just going to say, a little spicy because the dog park is not an official dog park. So it's behind a school and it's not actually fully fenced off. And it even says this is not a dog park on the fence. And yet you go every day. There are official meetups and lots of people come with their dogs. And we have used this facility as well for our dogs. And in these situations, I feel like this is where the gray area is like super difficult because they have picnic benches off to the side. People have chairs that they've left out there in this dog park. And I've seen people go to eat their lunch, but you would never eat your lunch in a dog park. Like, that's a big pet peeve I've heard other people talk about. Don't eat in the dog park. Dogs are going to eat your food. And so it's just this gray area, though, because you're going to the dog park, but it's not an official dog park. The city is not managing this park like it's a dog park, and yet everyone brings their dogs there. So I don't know how people feel about this, but I do feel like it is a sort of point of contention between dog owners if the park is not officially a dog park, because there's this expectation of a dog park, like we said, don't bring in food. Also, don't bring in young children. This is something that I have heard and we got feedback on as well. If you're going to bring young children into a dog park, I feel like the intention of the dog park is to bring your dog, let them go off leash and mix with other dogs. And it's less about to bring your children in with the dogs and have your dogs interact with children, because you may not be able to guarantee that a dog is going to mix well with children. Now, if you have a dog that doesn't mix well with other dogs, that's on you. If you brought your dog into the dog park and they don't get along with other dogs, question mark, why are you bringing your dog here? It's meant to be a public space for other dogs. But I think that that is sort of, a gray area where people say like, oh, well, I'm bringing my children or I'm bringing my baby or I'm bringing, you know, a small child because I'm on my family walk with my dog and we want to go to the dog park and maybe another dog's not going to mix well with a baby or a child. So again, I think this is like a point of tension and I don't really know what the right answer is other than if a dog is an official dog park, follow the rules. If a dog park is unofficially a dog park, you may come across some tense conversations.
Another thing that someone said is a pet peeve of theirs is owners that play fetch with their dogs, but their dogs are territorial resource guarders, have resource guarding problems. And then if your dog tries to get in on the fun, it could end badly. So I know for us, when I have brought Adelaide and brought some sort of toy to fetch with, I don't expect 100% of the time Adelaide is the one to get the toy. And whether that means
you end up playing fetch with another dog for
right
an hour?
Yeah, or if I have to talk to the owner and be like, hey, I need to get my toy back because we're leaving, or even if that means like the toy gets dirty and slobbery, like that's not something we deal with, but if there's a Frenchie that's wanting to play and they get slobber on it, then that's just part of the deal. Like I say, for Adelaide, she likes to play fetch. She also likes to chase other dogs. So it's all in service of what she likes, when going to the dog park, but I think it is harmful if your dog is not like
that. Right, and to expect that every dog will be like that, you don't know if a stranger's dog is going to play fetch, and then it's not going to end well either. So again, having those conversations, as awkward as they might be, with the other owners, I think is a good idea, as well as always communicating. If you have treats in hand and a dog comes up to you that is not your dog, communicating with the other owner, can your dog have a treat or not? Now, I know some people feel that treats shouldn't even be in a dog park because, and this happened to me, I had treats in my bag and I wasn't even taking them out anymore, but a stranger dog came up to me and the owner was nice about it and, you know, just kind of saying like, oh, sorry, like it's COVID, haven't gotten her nails trimmed. And it was a big Portuguese water dog. And she jumped up on me, even though I didn't have the treats and I wasn't going to give her any. She jumped up on me and actually scratched me through my leggings. And I had like a dark red line down, like a paw line, all of the claws down my leg for like a few weeks. Like it really cut deep. So I guess that shows that my leggings are really good, that they didn't rip, but my skin ripped. But again, it's like I was having that conversation with the owner, but the owner didn't intervene. The owner didn't take their dog away. And I think that that happens a lot to Italian Greyhound owners, where you will communicate with someone, hey, your dog's kind of bullying my dog, or people, it's a touchy subject. People feel like, oh, you say I'm not a good dog owner because my dog's attacking your dog. Well, it's like, again, it's if both people are on the same page, then it's great. And if I feel like my dog is very small and all the other big dogs in the park are playing and everyone's having a good time except for my dog, I will leave the dog park. I'll accept it. I know that, you know, this is the big dog playtime and Adelaide might get hurt. And it's not their fault for being big and it's not their fault for wanting to play with each other. But again, if it's a bullying situation and your dog won't leave my dog alone, I'm going to take myself out of this equation.
Like we said at the beginning, we really love going to the dog park. So let's try and end this on a positive note. I think all of those things are great. I think we, in the course of this discussion, kind of convinced ourselves that there are things that could be done if there was a little bit more resources behind them, right? The empty field makes sense if they're bare minimum, but it would be cool to see the cities of the future have these things for dogs.
And I feel like private dog parks as well are sometimes a part of complexes, like apartment buildings, condos. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes I feel like those dog parks are better monitored or they're nicer. And I look at them, I'm like, I want to go in there, but there's like a code and it's not your dog park, so you can't go in there, Jess.
So what do we have for recommendations here?
Big recommendation, just like, I'm just going to roll through the quick things of like etiquette. Like we said, don't feed treats to someone else's dog if they're not your dog and you haven't communicated with the other owner. Maybe try to avoid doing a lot of training with treats within the dog park. If you have some and it's on you already because you were training outside the dog park, okay, fine, keep them wrapped up. Because for me personally, I have had, you know, like we said, dogs jumping up. Again, pick up poop after yourself. Good etiquette. Communicate with other dog owners. That's like a huge thing. Just like any relationship, communication is key. So if you're going to communicate with someone in the dog park, whether it's to help intervene with a situation or even if it's just, hey, does your dog like puppies? Is this okay? Like asking for permission or sort of having that conversation if you see something is wrong, don't be afraid to speak up. At the end of the day, you have to be the advocate for your dog. If someone's not pulling their weight in the dog parenting situation, we're not saying to judge. We're not saying to point the finger. We're just saying you have to kind of pick up the slack to protect your dog. So no, you're not training someone else's dog, but it might mean leaving the park when it's unsafe, reading your dog's body language. That one's huge. And a lot of people don't know body language of dogs. So tucking of the tail, shaking for Italian Greyhounds. It's even difficult with Italian Greyhounds and shaking because sometimes our girls will shake when they're excited. So again, being able to read that, it's very subtle, but try your best. And panting, again, if it's not a hot day and your dog's panting from running a lot, sometimes the panting is nerves. So again, checking with that body language. And then communicating with the other dog owners who are present. I think that that is a great idea just to sort of say what you're thinking before a situation happens.
If you're lucky enough to have multiple dog parks in your city or that are reasonable for you to get to, try them all. And you can try them all at different times. So they're all going to have their own culture, right? That this, there can be expectations of what it's like to be a dog parent there, right? Everyone is kind of keeping to themselves, or everyone is social, or there's maybe a dog park that has the small dog area, right? If you don't go and try more parks, then you won't know. But you can figure out what the patterns are of people and figure out the behavior that is going to work best for you and your dog.
Right, because we went to a dog park, quick anecdote, at maybe 6 p.m. one night, and we had a really bad situation of an owner who was not attentive to their dog. The dog was being a bully, and people were not pleased with this person, and it did not end well. We went to that same dog park at 6 in the morning. It was a whole different dog park. There were small dogs. There were big dogs. Everyone was very nice. They welcomed me to the dog park. Welcome. This is the 6 a.m. crew. Like, morning crew at this dog park is great. And I just thought, oh my God, day and night. It's the same facility, but a whole different crowd. So if I were to go back there, I'm going in the morning. I'm not going to go at night. But also forgive yourself. If you go at night and have a bad situation, it doesn't mean it's always going to be bad at that time, at that place. You know, give it a few tries. Just be open to the dog park.
And if you find after trying a bunch of parks that the park is not for you, maybe try a trail. So if you can find...
Love the trail.
Yeah. And we are very fortunate in and around Toronto, and we have High Park that has trails that are even fenced. So don't even have to worry about our dogs going off into the woods and picking up ticks and whatever might happen there.
Picking up dead animals.
Yeah. So something to consider if you're going to be walking your dog on just like a forest trail. But that could also be a great option for you with fewer distractions, potentially still the ability for your dog to run if they can like run forward and run back to you. And you can maybe plan to work on more training because you're not surrounded by dogs. You can have those high value treats and yeah, work on recall, and it can be a positive experience, maybe even to mix with the park. Now I'm convincing myself that we need to do both. I mean, we do
now we
do
need
both,
to go to the trail.
Yeah.
Except not, because it's 31 degrees right now and I think that'd be a little too hot for today. Short walks. Speaking of short, another recommendation, if you're nervous about the dog park, make your trip short. You don't have to be in the dog park for an hour. You can be in the dog park for 5 minutes. And always listening to your dog, noticing the body language. If your dog's having a great time, you can stay. If your dog's not having a great time, it doesn't matter what anyone else is doing. We can't control other people. That is like a big life lesson. What other people do is out of your control. This episode, we're just trying to let you know sort of what people feel about the dog park, so that maybe you didn't realize that playing fetch with your dog, if they have some issues resource guarding, maybe you didn't realize that playing fetch with a stranger's dog is a bad thing because, you know, a situation could be not so great. But again, communicating with the dog owners there. And if a new dog enters the park, it's a reset. You don't know. This is a new dog. New dog, new day.
And while you're there, you should be watching your dog. So whether it's people giving your dog treats, maliciously or not, right? It might be just, oh, I'm trying to help them.
Your dog's begging for treats.
Some kind of training or, yeah, or they're just begging for it. if you are there and attentive, that kind of thing is not going to happen. And God forbid there are dog snatchers around, that you would be aware of where your dog is. And this, again, could tie into how long you're there for, right? How long is your attention span? You don't want to push
right.
yourself to do things that are not good for your dog, like leaving them unattended for long periods of time.
Right. And I think everyone is guilty. It's 2021. We're guilty of looking in our phones and not realizing the world around us. And I know that's a big pet peeve of others as well, to be on the phone and ignore the dog. So if you can be the most attentive to your dog, that's going to help out you. It's going to help out your dog, and it's going to help out everybody else at the dog park, because the goal is to have a good time, right?
Yeah, always.
We're just talking about this so much. I want to go to the dog park. Even with all of the pet peeves, you know what? That's just in the bad situations. There have been so many great memories I have at the dog park. So not to minimize anyone's struggles. I know that it's hard, but this is my wish for you. I hope that you give the dog park a try. And if you do get to have those great memories, hold on to those and try and learn from the experience for next time.
Yeah, great. Well, thanks for listening to this episode, and we will see you at the dog park.
Hopefully. See you soon.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Iggy Parents.
If you enjoyed what you heard here today, we'd love if you left us a review. 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts help us get discovered by new Iggy parents and dog lovers alike.
You can subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening or wherever podcasts are found.
Our new vlog is going up on YouTube featuring Phoebe's journey through puppyhood.
Don't miss out on every pup date by subscribing to our newsletter at theiggyparents.com/newsletter.
As always, this podcast is brought to you by The Iggy Parents Shop. If you're looking for another way to support what we do here, check out our merch at theiggyparents.com/shop.
And don't forget to connect with us on Instagram by sharing your thoughts with us and your friends. Tag at the Iggy Parents, at Iggy Adelaide, and now you can even reach us at Iggy Phoebe.
Bye for now from Ryan,
Jess,
Adelaide,
and Phoebe.